Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader education. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Ken. Welcome to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. All right, even if you are not interested in trading, you will want to hear this show. I'm going to give you a lot of stats and numbers. No, don't touch the dial yet, that you have not heard elsewhere that will make your blood boil, at least if you are paying attention. I will attempt to get through this show without getting angry. Just like groundhogs should not drive angry, I should not do radio shows angry. And I'm usually pretty even keeled about stuff. But folks, the absolute abject stupidity I'm about to describe to you on this show will blow your mind. And it will answer a lot of questions for you about why aren't things getting better in this country. And let's start off with this. There's all these people that come on the TV and they talk about, you know, we're in recovery. We think, you know, I keep hearing this debate on CNBC. Will we grow at 3% this year? No, we won't. How about that? End of debate. Not if we look at the numbers from any reasonable perspective, but understand the economy is shrinking. In any real sense. And let me demonstrate this to you. Now, again, folks, stay with me. Pay attention. This is important stuff I have not seen anywhere else. In 2013, the gross domestic product of the United States grew by a total of about 3.4%, not including inflation. I mean, that's including inflation, for a total of $553 billion. So there's about 300 and some million of us. We all basically got $1,000 extra last year from the economic growth that we have. Well, that's pretty good. You get a $1,000 raise, that's, you know, a few percent at least. Ah, but not so fast. Because then if you look at how much did federal tax collections increase last year? Well, they increased by $325 billion, which means of the 553 that was created, the federal government took 59% of that money away from us in taxes. So if you say, well, you know, the economy is getting better, why aren't people hiring? Why not stuff? It's because the people aren't getting to keep the money. The feds are taking almost 60% of it. But there's more. You add in the state and local, and what you find out is 90% of all of the money that was quote-unquote created last year in this growing economy went to taxes at the federal, state, or local level. That is a huge deal. By definition, the government will never spend the money as efficiently as you and I will. Now, there's certain things government has to do. We cannot have our own armies, okay, much as we might want to sometimes, okay? The reality is that's something the government has to do. But it doesn't have to do a lot of the stuff it's doing now. And when it's taking away 90% of the wealth, the new wealth created last year, that's a problem. But it's worse than that. The federal government, to make this happen, last year borrowed $642 billion. Now, they borrowed more than that, but if you use their bogus accounting, that's what you get to. So the feds borrowed $640 billion to generate $553 billion in growth. So somehow we lost money in that transaction. And then they took back $325 billion of it in taxes. And then again, you throw the state and locals in there and you're up to 470 some. Okay. The math is unattractive, but it gets worse because it wasn't just the federal government borrowing last year that led to this great growth of $553 billion. You and I borrowed money too. Businesses borrowed money. If you go to the Federal Reserve, St. Louis Fed website, and you look at how much did total debt in this country increase last year, it increased $2 trillion. So take a step back. All of us together borrowed $2 trillion. Somehow that only turned into $553 billion of new wealth. Where the other trillion and a half went, I don't know. Then 90% of that 553 was taken back by the government in taxes. Oh, and by the way, we had to pay accountants and lawyers and tax preparers and other people to help us cope with all the regulations. So if you actually look at it that way, we spent $2 trillion and got zero benefit because the tax code got more complicated and the regulations went up by thousands of pages. So the net is we all got $2 trillion farther into the hole and got zip, zero, nada, as another person would say, out of this. That's why things aren't getting better. I've shown you from, you know, the Federal Reserve's own studies show that, you know, what they're doing doesn't make a difference. This is the reality of the numbers that, again, I haven't seen anywhere else. And I'm going to give you more numbers today that you haven't seen anywhere else. But just very quick on the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is driving this entire market. There's nothing real about it, and I will prove that to you after the break. But for those of you who are interested in the market stuff, all right, you want to learn how markets really work. You want to learn what's the right way for you to approach the markets. Should you be using futures or options? And there's some cool tax advantages in futures if we get a chance, we'll talk about later in the show as well. The reality is that most people out there are totally vulnerable. They don't understand what they're doing, and the market is taking tremendous advantage of them. Whether you're new to the market, you're experienced, you've got to get yourself educated. Now, we haven't done this in a while, but we're going to do it for this week. We are going to give away free tickets to a three-day class that is going to really help you understand how the markets work and how you should be approaching the market personally. The tickets for the next 20 callers will be free, but you must attend an orientation so you understand the basics. But if you want to get free tickets to the three-day class, be one of the next 20 callers at 8448 Trader. That's T-R-A-D-E-R. Free tickets, next 20 callers to the three-day class at 8448 Trader. That's 844-887-2337. If you get voicemail, you still may be a winner, so leave your name, your phone number clearly twice. If you're a winner, someone will call you back. See you in a minute. Hi, this is Ken. Welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. Folks, this is a very, very important show. I'm giving you numbers I have not seen anywhere else, at least calculated this way. All the stuff, though, I've done the research. The numbers come directly from government documents, from the Federal Reserve. It's just nobody actually sits down and does the calculations. If you've missed any of the show or you want to share this with friends, and I would strongly encourage you to do that with this week's show, just go to nextweekinstocks.com. That's one word, nextweekinstocks.com. You'll be able to hear the show there. I usually have it up by late Sunday night at the latest. Just depends on when I get the recording. All right, I want to come back to the Federal Reserve stuff in a moment, but just a very quick recap. What we laid out in the first segment was the following. In 2013, the gross domestic product of the United States grew, and this is not adjusted for inflation, none of my numbers are, by $553 billion. Again, that's $1,000 and some a person. That's pretty good. The problem is the federal government took $325 billion more in taxes than they did before the year before. So of that $553, 59% of it went to the federal government. Once you add in the state and local, 90% of all of the growth and wealth in this country last year went to the government. That is why no one's creating jobs. That is why no one's investing in property, plant, and equipment. It is why we are continuing to have the jobless recovery, and that's not going to change. These people are not going to give up their money, and they're not going to give up their power. I'm going to get to my favorite buffoon of the month, Mr. Jim Moran, here in a little bit. But these clowns, I will be generous here. And I said I wouldn't get angry on the show, or at least I'd try not to. I did say that. I didn't say I wouldn't. I can feel it coming, though. Okay. This is really, really frustrating stuff. Now, again, those numbers I just gave you were bad. It's worse. Because to get the $553 billion in growth, the federal government borrowed $642 billion on your behalf. So we lost $100 billion in there somewhere, because you got to pay the $642. Oh, by the way, you got to pay the interest too. But it's worse than that, because you and I and businesses also borrowed. So the debt of the country went up by $2 trillion last year, and growth only went up by $553. So $1.5 trillion just got lost somewhere. Plus, some of that increase in gross domestic product was paying accountants and lawyers and a group of people to help us comply with new regulations and with taxes. Totally non-productive. This is why wages aren't going up for average people in this country, because the wealth is going all to the government. And this and they're not going to give that up. And again, you know, I'm not trying to dump on Paul Ryan here, but this budget he put together is totally unserious. For those of you who really believe that one of these parties is going to solve this problem, it's not true. Paul Ryan's plan to balance the budget in 10 years is a joke. Because no Congress can bind a future Congress. I don't care if it passes the House, the Senate, and Obama signs it. It can't bind a future Congress. And what these guys always do is they say, well, sure, we're raising spending now, but in 5 years, boy, are we coming out with the big knives. It never happens. Those of you who, you know, and Hannity's the only guy I've really seen pushing this, the penny plan, the math is wrong. It can't work. The idea of cutting spending 1% a year and getting to where you need to be in 5 years is mathematically impossible. If you're bringing in $2.5 trillion or $2.8 trillion, let's say, and you're spending $3.5 trillion, and again, you're making up the numbers anyway, the way they do the math, you've got a gap of about 25%. 1% a year for 5 years isn't going to get you to 25%. Again, this idea that there's some sort of simple way of solving this problem is simply not true. And that means that the problem, by the way, isn't going to get solved. And I made this statement in the last segment, and I'm going to back it up. The entire market is being driven by the Federal Reserve. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, and this week you got your proof. Now, I am taping this at 12:18 a.m. on 4/11, which is Friday morning, very early. So Thursday, you saw the market go way down. After Wednesday, the market went way up. Why did these things happen? Well, on Wednesday, the Federal Reserve come out and say that they were worried about deflation. Now, first of all, understand deflation is not a problem. Deflation is only a problem if you owe money. And see, there was actually an article I read saying, you know, we got to make sure we have inflation because that makes it easier to pay back your debts. Well, look, this is a zero-sum game. If it's easier for you to pay your debts, then it means the people that loaned you the money are getting screwed. Okay, the bondholders lose. Somebody loses in this deal. Okay. And in this country, I mean, how many people here complain because the price of computers and TVs and electronics go down all the time? That's deflation. Would you really complain if gas cost $1.50 a gallon again? Okay. In this country, we have had long periods of deflation and great economic growth. In the late 1800s, it was very common. This idea that you must have inflation is a canard. But understand what the Fed said. We're worried about deflation, so we're going to have to keep interest rates low for an extended period of time, what's known as the zero interest rate policy. Well, why is that good? We've already demonstrated on the show a number of times that it's not creating jobs, okay? And the Fed knows that. So the reason it's good for stocks is because large corporations can borrow money for free and not invest it in property, plant, and equipment, not use it to hire more people, but to buy back their stock. That means that when you calculate your earnings per share, you have fewer shares, so your stock price goes up. And it's all a con. Okay, there's no real value being created. So on Wednesday, that was the big news and the stock market went up. On Thursday, jobless numbers come out better than expected. There were only 300,000 claims. They thought there'd be 320. All those people start worrying, well, maybe the Fed's not going to keep rates low, whatever. Okay. Yeah, China's slowing down, and we've warned you about that. And Japan's got all kinds of problems. And by the way, we are exactly doing what Japan did, and it's not working there. Their stock market is down. I'm trying to remember what my number was. Had to go to my notes there because I want to give you good information. The Nikkei was down 6%, is 6% this week. And again, they've had 4 days this week. It's down about 8% in the last couple of weeks. The market is falling quickly. It's the risk that we run as well. And again, folks, for those of you just joining us, we haven't done this one in a while, but it is so important that you understand how the markets really work. You know, all this stuff on high frequency trading and all this other stuff, we talked about this to you guys years ago. We've talked about how the market's manipulated. It is manipulated. So the key is not to be on the side that's getting screwed over, which is the retail side. The reason the retail trader loses is because they all read the same books. They all go to the same hotel seminars. They all look for the same magical software. And then they can't figure out why they get beaten like rented mules. Okay. You've got to learn to look at a chart and say, this is where the institutions are buying and this is where the institutions are selling. You don't need indicators. Fundamental analysis is a waste of time. You will never know anything that Goldman Sachs doesn't know. In fact, there's a thing in the Wall Street Journal, and this is in Thursday's or Friday's paper, where, you know, it's now come out that a government official leaked some important information about Medicare payments and insurance company stocks got killed. And this was, I think, December, January. Okay. Well, how did that happen? Because this person happened to say it, a government official, on a conference call with a bunch of big money managers. Well, you and I didn't have that information, but you could have looked at the chart and you could have seen that they were selling. And the selling doesn't take place in 10 seconds. It takes time and you have a lot of opportunities. But what you have to also understand is there's it's like a toolbox. There's a right tool for a job. There are times when options are the right tool. There are times where futures are the right tool. There's some big tax advantages to trading futures. If you trade the exchange-traded fund known as the SPYDERS, the SPY, and you don't hold it for a year, 100% of your profit is taxed as ordinary income. You trade the future of the S&P instead, and you can hold it for a second. Every profit that you have, you're probably not going to have a lot of profits in a second unless you're a high-frequency trader, but let's say a minute. Okay, but you can hold it any length of time. 60% of your profit is taxed as long-term capital gain. For some of you, that's a huge tax savings. Understanding how to use currencies, all this stuff plays together. So as I talked about before, we've got a three-day class, which is for people who are in two categories, let's say. First is the people relatively new to trading. You've been doing this less than 5 years or so, and you're really trying to figure it out. The second is those of you who have been doing it a long time, but the market's up 180% in 4 years, and you haven't been able to keep up with it. You know it's going to go down at some point, and you're not really sure what to do. If either of those are you, this three-day class is going to be incredibly beneficial to you. Now, we haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to give away tickets to the three-day class. But you must come to an orientation first because you've got to understand the basic lingo and that's free as well. So be one of the next 20 callers. You'll get tickets to the 3 day class. The number to call is 8448 TRADER. That's TRADER. 844-887-2337. You may get voicemail and still be a winner because we don't have 20 people on the phones. So leave your name, your phone number clearly twice. If you're a winner, someone will get back to you. Again, free tickets for the next 20 callers to the three-day class, 8448 TRADER. See you in a minute. Hi, this is Ken. Welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. You know, folks, one of the messages of the show has always been that we have created a political problem to which there is no political solution. In the first couple of segments, I've been trying to explain, if you really look at the numbers, what you find out is these people that come on TV, they're not telling us the truth about what the real number situation is. The growth that's being created is being confiscated by the government to the tune of 90%. We're spending $4 to get $1 worth of growth, and then we have to pay the money back. I'm going to get to some specifics right now, and I'm going to hang the clown suit on Mr. Jim Moran. Actually, he's already wearing it. I'm just going to kind of expose him. But what you realize is these people can get so rich by being in power that they're never going to change the system. And it's why the basic message of you've got to learn to take care of yourselves, your families, your communities, your churches, whatever it may be, no one is going to be there to bail you out. When the money's gone, the money's going to be gone, and the whole country is going to be like Detroit. And everybody's going to sit and be fighting over the scraps, and they're going to have already gotten theirs. And it's going to be a very, very sad time, unfortunately. Now, I don't know if that happens in 5 years or 10 years or whatever. It has to happen. But I also know that sooner than that, there are going to be market corrections. A lot of people are saying, oh, there's going to be a market correction in July or whatever. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know that what's going on in the markets right now are not sustainable. And in the famed words of Herb Stein, if something can't go on, it won't. If the only reason the market's going up is because the Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates low, then again, you don't want to fight the fact that the Feds are going to keep interest rates low for the foreseeable future. We're going to be like Japan. We're going to be doing this for the next 20 years. Okay, I mean, because what else are we going to do? It's not going to work, okay, but you've got to be prepared. And again, the Japanese market's down 6% in the last 4 days. That's a pretty big number that fast. And the volatility is really picking up there because it's becoming clearer to anyone who's paying attention that what they're doing over there isn't working. And we're doing the same thing here. It's not going to work either. So again, if you're just tuning in, we haven't done this in a while, but we're giving away tickets to a 3-day class, which is an incredible overview of how the markets really work and really understanding, one, should you even be in the markets? I mean, sitting out is an option. The problem is that sitting out in the last 4 years has cost you 180%. I mean, that's not a good thing for most people. You really, and the problem is when the dollar is gone as the world's reserve currency, sitting out's not going to be an option either. You're going to have to understand currencies, and that day will come. And this is one of the things that's underappreciated about what's happening in Russia right now. People say we have all this leverage over them, but they have leverage over us too. And they're already working out barter deals with Iran where they're not trading in dollars. If we lose the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and we've talked about this on the show before, that is really a bad thing for everybody who doesn't understand how to use other currencies. So be very, very careful. But again, if you want to come to the 3-day class, you must come to an orientation first. You've got to understand the basics of how the market works, and there's no charge for the orientation. It's part of your 3-day class. And again, we're giving away tickets to the class. If you've ever wanted to be better in the markets, this is a very important thing to do. So if you want to come out, you can get free tickets for the full 3 days and the orientation. Be one of the next 20 callers at 8448TRADER. That's TRADER, 8448TRADER. Again, we don't have 20 people answering the phones, so you could get voicemail and still be a winner. So if you get voicemail, just leave your name, your phone number clearly twice. If you're a winner, someone will call you back, get you set up for your orientation, get you ready for the class. Again, free tickets for the next 20 callers for the 3-day class, 8448TRADER. That's 844-887-2333. 37. And by the way, something we've taught in classes for a long time is about how your brokers do sell your orders to other people, and then they trade against you. And again, and it's why trading like a retail trader is such a sucker's game. But we've covered that before. Let us move on. Let's put the clown suit on Mr. Moran where it belongs. Okay. Week ago, Jim Moran, Representative of Virginia, comes out and says, Congressmen don't make enough money. They only make $174,000 a year, and you just can't live on that. You got to have two houses and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, bring out that world's smallest violin. First, Jim Moran doesn't need two houses because he lives in Virginia. He can commute. Secondly, he makes this argument of, you know, we are the board of directors of the largest financial, you know, organization in the world. Well, then you know what? You should all be fired because you suck. Okay? If this is your idea of financial stewardship, get out of town. Right? Why is it that we have a bunch of lawyers running a financial organization? This is a disaster on 100 levels. I mean, you talk about just an incredibly stupid thing to say. But now, let us get a little bit more into Mr. Moran. Mr. Moran, in 2007, according to his financial disclosure forms that he files with the U.S. government, which, so you know they're right, was worth almost $13 million. Today, he claims he's worth less than $15,000. With all due respect, making an extra $50,000 a year isn't your problem. Okay, hanging on to your 13 very large, that might have been the better idea. Now, I heard he made some bad investments, had an ugly divorce, whatever. I don't care. How about that? Okay. And while he was losing, going on 13 million, some of his comrades were doing much, much better. And actually, the word comrade is a good word for this. If you go to opensecrets.org, there is a database that shows you by congressperson how they do kind of every year in terms of what their net worth is. So you take all the stuff they own, you subtract all the stuff they owe. What are they reporting? Now, understand the stuff they don't report. You know, Charlie Rangel, he's got the place in the Dominican Republic that he forgot about for $750,000. That stuff doesn't count. Stuff they hide with their kids and their friends and the brothers and the rest of it, that stuff doesn't count. Okay? All the different ways they're shifting the money around, that doesn't count. This is just what they tell you about. Between 2004 and 2012, which is the biggest range of years available, there were 328 members of Congress, including also the president and the vice president, because they're still part of the database, who were there in 2004 that are still there in 2012. Of those people, and this is not aggregate, these are individuals. Of those people, I think it's 102 of them, but it's 32%. 32% of members of Congress had their net worth double in an 8-year period. Now, if I remember correctly, during that 8-year period, the average American household lost 28% of its net worth. These people, almost one out of three of them, doubled their net worth. Well, what does that mean in dollars and cents? The average one that doubled their net worth went from $3.3 million to $9.4 million in 8 years. And they did it making only $174,000 a year. And you just think they're not good with money. The problem is, it's just that they're not good with your money. If you want to understand how they do it, if you read Peter Schweitzer's book, Throw Them All Out, it explains it very well. His book, Extortion, is also good, but Throw Them All Out gives you the better sense of the big picture. Looking at just some of everyone's favorite congresspeople, how did they do? Nancy Pelosi, guardian of the poor, in 2004 was worth $41 million. In 2012 was worth $88 million. Harry Reid, 2004 was worth $3.8 million. In 2012, only $4.4 million. So, you know, he made about $600,000. But, you know, talk about making 77 cents on the dollar, okay? Compared to Pelosi, he left a ton of money on the table. Now, there were eight members of Congress. Oh, and by the way, Barack Obama went from 300,000 to 4 million. And that number is going to get a lot bigger. But there were eight people who actually lost everything during that time. One of them, Vice President Joe Biden. Tell you how that happened on the other side. But again, if you want free tickets to the 3-day class, be one of the next 20 callers at 8448 Trader. If you get voicemail, leave your name, your number clearly twice. If you're a winner, we will call you back. Free tickets, 8448 Trader. Hi, this is Ken. Welcome back to Next Week in Stocks, the most important 60 minutes in your trading week. Next Week in Stocks is brought to you by Online Trading Academy Phoenix, the world's most trusted name in professional trader education since 1997. So we were talking about how Congress is underpaid. You know, when there are people that actually make the argument that, well, if we pay them more, they'll be more honest. No, they won't, because they have so much power. And that power is so valuable. When you have a few thousand people dividing up $3.5 trillion, when you have a few thousand people that have the absolute power to destroy their enemies, they're not giving up this power. And they're not going to manage it any better. What, you think if you pay them $200,000 a year, it'll get better? You pay them $1 million a year, it's going to get better? No, it doesn't work that way. Again, if we look at these numbers, one out of three members of Congress between 2004 and 2012 doubled their net worths. Those people went from $3.3 million to $9.4 million while making $174,000 a year. This is, I think Mark Twain, it was either Will Rogers or Mark Twain that said that Congress was our only indigenous criminal class. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. So at any rate, I mentioned that there were eight lowly members who actually lost everything. One of them was Vice President Joe Biden. In 2004, he reported that he was worth $41,000. He is now worth a negative $274,000. And again, you say, how does this happen? Well, I have it on reasonably good authority from a kind of a bizarre source, but that Joe Biden owns six houses. Now, it may be they're no longer in his name, but I have no reason he's given them up. He's been vice president for the last several years. That's a pretty big, good gig. You don't have a lot of expenses. His wife's a doctor. I mean, you know, I'd be surprised if all those assets actually vanished. I just think they get reported differently. And this is the whole thing. As bad as all the numbers I've given you are, as angry as they should make you, and they should make you very angry, it's not the truth. The truth is worse than this. This is just what they tell us and think they can get away with. But when have you heard these numbers reported? The numbers I'm giving you on congressional net worth have been available for years for free on the internet. I have never seen anybody else publish these numbers or describe these numbers. But again, you can go check it out for yourself. Go to opensecrets.org and they list and they go through all the financial disclosure forms, and they have to do them manually because Congress, of course, won't do it electronically because they don't want to make this easy for people to figure out. And this is why they're also a couple years behind. But all the information is there. When's the last time you saw this on NBC or even Fox News? Never seen it. By the way, if anything, the Open Secrets people are a lot more on the left than they are on the right. But this is the reality of what's happening out there. The analysis that we spent $2 trillion to get $500 billion worth of growth, and then 90% of it ended up going to the government. Where have you seen that analysis done? Nowhere. And this is why I said this is an important show, because we try to give you a perspective that you don't hear anywhere else. And again, these numbers, you know, where do they come from? They come from the government. You know, I remember there's been times in classes where I've shown people how Social Security does their math. And what they show is that they spent $602 billion, they brought in $480 billion, and that's $107 billion surplus. Okay? And actually, if you ever come to a workshop I'm doing, I'll show you how they do that math. You go, no, Ken, they're $120 billion in the hole. Not the way they do the math, they're not. It's totally ridiculous. It's all a house of cards. And it's why, again, I try to get across to people, you're not going to be able to rely on the government for the Social Security, the Medicare, any of this stuff. Nobody stopped Detroit from going bankrupt because there were no votes in it. Nobody's going to stop us because, look, it's not that stopping us from going bankrupt. We are bankrupt. We owe, as a country, $59 trillion. That's the government, you and me, every business in this country. $59 trillion. You take all the pensions that the states are short. You got another, you know, tens of trillions. You add in all of the unfunded liabilities, the promises we've made to the American people. You're at $200 trillion. There is zero possibility of being good for this money. And again, it's why I try to get across, you've got to learn to manage your own money. Whether you want to be shorter term, longer term, I don't care. But you've got to do this. And you've got to have the right tool for the job. Should it be options? Should it be futures? It depends on what's going on. And if you want to understand how to do this, if you want to understand how it fits into what your goals are, what your budget is, I mean, everybody starts with a different amount of money as well, and that determines some of this. This is really the purpose of this three-day class that we're doing. And as I mentioned, we have not done this in quite some time, but we're giving away free tickets here on the show. If you would like free tickets to the three-day class, you must come to an orientation just so you can learn the basics of how the market works, understand how the process is going to work. But that's free, okay? So if you win tickets to the three-day class, the orientation is free as well. If you want free tickets, be one of the next 20 callers. And this is for the full three-day class. This is very cool stuff. The number to call is 8448-TRADER. That's TRADER. If you don't have the alphabet on your phone, it's 844-887-2337. In the class, we're going to be talking about options. We'll be talking about futures, about currencies. But a lot of what we're talking about is first of all, just the basics of risk management. How do you know when to get in and out of your trades? And then how do you manage the risk once you're in there? But also, it's a lot of stuff about you. Not everybody is suited to be a short-term trader. Some people are, some people aren't. Not everybody's suited to be an options trader or a futures trader. So really learning what the different skill sets are so you know how to approach them intelligently. But again, I will promise you, the people who pay for the class love the class. If you get the free tickets, you will love the class. Again, if you want to call, we don't have 20 people answering the phone. So if you get voicemail, you might still be a winner. So leave your name, your phone number clearly twice. If you're a winner, someone will get back to you. For free tickets to the three-day class plus the orientation, be one of the next 20 callers at 8448-TRADER. That's 8448-TRADER or 844-887-2337. Watch what's going on in Europe and China. We'll see you next week on Next Week in Stocks.